Last year sucked, and this one was already worse. Last year, when my parents died in an accident on their Caribbean vacation, I'd been working too hard to listen to my instincts, which were screaming bullshit so loud I almost went deaf in my third ear. I was preparing for the biggest case of my career, so I sort of had an excuse that worked for me as long as I showed up for happy hour. But the truth was, I was obsessed with the private investigator assigned to my case. Nick. Almost divorced Nick. My new coworker, Nick, who sometimes sent out vibes that he wanted to rip my Ann Taylor blouse off with his teeth when he wasn't busy ignoring me. But things had changed. I'd just gotten the verdict back in my mega trial, the Burnside wrongful termination case. My firm rarely took plaintiff cases, so I'd taken a big risk with this one and won Mr. Burnside $3 million, of which the firm got a third. That was the total opposite of suck. After my coup at the Dallas courthouse, my paralegal Emily and I headed straight down I-20 to the hotel where our firm was on retreat in Shreveport, Louisiana. Shreveport is not on the top 10 list for most company getaways, but our senior partner fancied himself a poker player and loved Cajun food, jazz, and riverboat casinos. The retreat was a great excuse for Gino to indulge in a little Texas Hold'em between team-building and sensitivity sessions and still come off looking like a hell of a guy. But it meant a 3.5-hour drive each way. This wasn't a problem for Emily and me. We bridged both the paralegal-to-attorney gap and the coworker-to-friend gap with ease, largely because neither of us did Dallas fancy very well. Or at all. Emily and I hustled inside for a check-in at the El Dorado. "Do you want a map of the ghost tours?" the front desk clerk asked us, her polyglot Texan-Cajun Southern accent making tours sound like tours. "Why, thank you kindly, but no thanks," Emily drawled. In the 10 years since she'd left, she still hadn't shaken Amarilla from her voice or given up barrel-racing horses. I didn't believe in hocus-pocus either, but I wasn't a fan of casinos, which reeked of cigarette smoke and desperation. "Do y'all have karaoke or anything else but casinos on site?"
"Yes, ma'am, we have a rooftop bar with karaoke, pool tables, and that kind of thing."
The girl swiped at her bangs, then swung her head to put them back in the same place they'd been.
"That sounds more like it," I said to Emily. "Karaoke," she said. "Again." She rolled her eyes. "Only if we can do tradesies halfway. I want to play blackjack."
After we deposited our bags in our rooms and freshened up, talking to each other the whole time on our cell phones while we were apart, we joined our group. All of our coworkers broke into applause as we entered the conference room. News of our victory had preceded us. We curtsied, and I used both arms to do a Vanna White toward Emily. She returned the favor.
"Where's Nick?" I called out. "Come on up here."
Nick had left the courtroom when the jury went out to deliberate, so he'd beaten us here. He stood up from a table on the far side of the room, but didn't join us in front. I gave him a long-distance Vanna White anyway. The applause died down, and some of my partners motioned for me to sit with them at a table near the entrance. I joined them, and we all got to work writing a mission statement for the firm for the next 15 minutes. Emily and I had arrived just in time for the first day's sessions to end. When we broke, the group stampeded from the hotel to the docked barge that housed the casino. In Louisiana, gambling is only legal on the water or on tribal land. On impulse, I walked to the elevator instead of the casino. Just before the doors closed, a hand jammed between them and they bounced apart.